What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 3 of season 2, in which we are focusing on helping the next generation succeed. And we wanted to just kind of go back over a little bit of the things that I had talked about. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to preach in my church, and I preached on Nehemiah. We're in a series on Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah chapter 1, most of the time we read Nehemiah and we think that he is the hero of the story. And the reality is that God is the hero of the story of Nehemiah. But as I started reading about Nehemiah and really taking a look at that book, I started thinking about it in light of what we've been talking about here on the podcast about how we can help the next generation succeed. And the stuff that I've been thinking through, and let me just give you a quick rundown of the book of Nehemiah so that you understand what's happening. Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king. He's been in captivity. He's been, his homeland has been destroyed, and he has been brought into captivity. And so now he is serving this king that has kind of conquered his people. And so the king brings him in, and he's in the king's household, the king's service, and he is serving him. And people come from Jerusalem and tell him what his homeland looks like. And his homeland has been destroyed, and the walls have been burned, and the entire city is in disarray. And so Nehemiah is sad. And in chapter 1, it says that Nehemiah was mourning and weeping for days and days. And whenever he heard this, he heard it in the fall of one of the years of the king's reign. And then the whole book of Nehemiah is kind of like his journal, his diary. So he's writing it in first person, and he says that it was what month it was, right? So he dates it and he tells us when he heard. So this was in the fall. And then chapter 2, which is what we talked about yesterday in the church service, is taking up place in the spring. So there's a gap there of about 4 months where Nehemiah has been mourning and weeping and praying about the reality of what is happening in his homeland. And in chapter 1, he had repented of the sin that he and his household and his fathers had sinned against God. And he reminds God of his faithfulness and of his promise to restore his people if his people return to him. And so I believe that Nehemiah spent those 4 months of that winter time mourning and weeping and praying and reminding God about his promise to restore his people. And so the chapter 2 picks up where Nehemiah is in the presence of the king, and the king says, "Why are you so sad? Why are you sad? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart." And so the king asks him what's going on, and Nehemiah, who could have been in a lot of trouble, said, because you're not allowed to be sad in front of the king, you have to be positive and happy. And he says, "How can I not be sad knowing that my homeland has been burned and destroyed?" And the king says to him, "Well, what do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do?" And Nehemiah says back to the king, "Well, would you send me to go and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem?" Now, that is a huge ask on Nehemiah's part, but it had been burdening him for so long. He was so passionate about God's restoring his people. And I'm getting to the point with this, with our kids and with the next generation, but Nehemiah had been waiting patiently for this opportunity for 4 months. And he knew what he needed to do, and he had been waiting throughout the entire long winter time. And it's interesting to me the patience that Nehemiah displayed, because even though he had been waiting for those long months, when the king finally gave him permission to go and to do it, Nehemiah travels all the way to Jerusalem, and he gets there and he waits for 3 more days before he does anything. And he has all the permission in the world to go in and to rebuild the wall, but he goes out the first time that he goes out, after he had been waiting for 4 months, and then after he had traveled all the way to Jerusalem, and then after he had waited 3 days, he goes and he talks. He doesn't even talk. He goes and he surveys what's going on. He surveys everything. He doesn't tell anybody what's happening or why he's there. And he surveys the state of the wall, and he's patient even in what he is doing when he gets to Jerusalem. And to me, that's a super important thing. And what we were talking about in our church service was the fact that a lot of times what we want to do is jump ahead and we want to fast forward the story without going through the middle. And so today on this podcast, I want to talk a little bit about what does it look like to be patient like Nehemiah? What does it look like to be patient like Nehemiah, even as a parent or even as someone who is trying to help the next generation succeed? One thing that I have learned in the student ministry is that nothing happens overnight, that nothing happens just quickly in student ministry. And I'm learning that as a parent because, you know, the good stories, every good story that we watch or that we listen to or that we read in a book has a beginning and a middle and an end. And if you go to the movies, you know that you don't want to miss the beginning of the movie. So you get there on time so that you can watch the beginning. And you know that you want to be in your seat at the last scene because that's where the best fight or the best resolution of the conflict happens. If you're ever going to get up at the movies to go to the restroom, what are you going to do? Or to get popcorn, what are you going to do? You're going to get up during the middle of the movie because that's kind of the part where if a movie is a bad movie, it becomes a bad movie in the middle of the story because the end and the beginning are the parts that capture our attention because they're the most attractive parts of the story. And so it's hard to be patient sometimes and sit through the middle. And there's a verse in Philippians that says, I am confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Usually what's breaking our hearts as parents, what's breaking our hearts as those who are working with the next generation is that we know that this middle time, which is the very definition of adolescence, right? This time between being a child and being an adult, everybody expects children to not be mature and everybody expects adults to be mature, but we don't know what to do with these adolescents who are in this messy middle where the stories have, you know, we have this tendency to not be patient during this time. We want them to grow up all of a sudden and be adults, or we don't want them to grow up and we want to suppress them and have them be kids forever. But the middle and the adolescence and the part of being in that middle is the part where we can lose patience as parents. And a lot of times it's because of circumstances, right? A lot of times we get frustrated with stuff and we don't want to be patient because there's a lack of motivation on some of our kids' part, or there's a lack of direction and they don't know what to do with their lives, or there's apathy or laziness, and there's kids who are wrestling with their faith at times. And sometimes it's even just a sickness that happens and it puts a pause on everything. And so taking the story of Nehemiah and thinking about the fact that he was patient, waiting on God to do something, and thinking about even my own kids and the way that what I really want for them is not what they are right now. What I really want for them is what they hopefully one day, by the grace of God, will become. And being patient with them during this time of adolescence, during this time of growth, during this time of maturity is the thing that is difficult. I've had so many conversations, even in the last couple of days, about the fact that we need to be patient. You know, I'm talking to kids who are 12th graders who don't really know, or they're recently graduated. graduated and they don't really know what it is that they want to do with the rest of their life, as if they're supposed to know what they're going to do with the rest of their life. And the reality is that we have to be patient. Like, think about back as a parent, whenever you were 18 and you were trying to figure out life and you acted like you had it all figured out. But the reality is, deep down inside, you did not know how your life was going to play out when you were 18. Very few of us have had the opportunity to know when we were 18 what life was going to be like at 25 or 30. And we sometimes put undue pressure on kids to say, hey, you need to know what you're going to do with the rest of your life, even though you are 18. I was surprised this year, even just going into high school with one of my kids, that, you know, sometimes you're supposed to know what you want to study in college when you're a freshman in high school. And it really blows my mind that we put this pressure and we're not patient enough. And sometimes we do that with God and we say, hey, God, I want you to do this thing. Nehemiah could have said, God, I want you to restore Israel. I want you to restore Jerusalem. I want you to rebuild the wall. And I want it to happen now. And we put our own time frame and our own timetable on God, even with our kids. And as I think back to the passage that says that kids are like arrows in the quiver, right? And I don't know if you've ever shot an arrow, but it takes a little bit of time to get the arrow into the bow. And then it takes time to aim that bow, and it takes time to breathe and to make sure that you're right on and you're aiming correctly and you're spot on. And then it takes time to release slowly so that that arrow will go where you are trying to point it to go. And the point that I'm making with that is that we as God's people need to be patient when it comes to what we are doing with our kids. And so the things that break our hearts are often the things that we want to rush. The things that break our hearts are the things that we want to rush through, that we want to go ahead and just fix. Why? Because they're things that are breaking our hearts. They're actually hurting us. They're making us sad, and we don't like that feeling, and we want to rush through it to get to the end, because we realize that pain and that hurt needs to be resolved and needs to be healed. And that's true. But at the same time, we have to be patient in it, because God is often in those times whenever we are trying to be patient. Nehemiah realized that the God of heaven had his hand on him whenever he was put in an uncomfortable situation and he had to ask the king to do something that Nehemiah knew needed to be done. But he knew that the king would not grant him those requests unless the gracious hand of God was on him. And what happens is that we want to do things and we don't wait for God's gracious hand to be on us, and we don't pray to the Lord of heaven, and we don't ask him to help us. What we do is we try to find a way, and we look for different ways of doing it. And so what I want to encourage you today is that God is faithful to complete what he has started. Maybe you have a child who is apathetic. Maybe you have someone who is lazy. Maybe you have kids who are wrestling with their faith, which is part of their growth. Maybe you have kids who are lacking motivation. Maybe you know people who are lacking direction, and you really want to just push them into the right direction. I want to encourage you today to be patient and to let God do what God is doing. I wrote something today that said, whenever we are waiting, it doesn't mean that we are wasting our time. When we're praying to God and we're asking him to do something that only he can do, and we're waiting in his presence and we're waiting for him, then God is working even whenever we have to wait. And we live in a society where we want to speed up and do everything really super fast. And God, I believe, sometimes places us in situations where we need to pause and we need to wait, and we need to be patient like Nehemiah was, so that we can see his face and to see him do things that only he can do, because he is faithful to complete all of those things in the day of Christ Jesus. So all good stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I want to encourage you, if you're in that middle of that story, that God is still working. He's working out that plot line so that he can resolve whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that your kids are going through, whatever it is that the next generation is going through that you're trying to help. So I want to encourage you today to be patient like Nehemiah and be ready for whenever God tells you to go, that you are ready to do what he asks you to do. I hope you have a wonderful day. Please subscribe to this podcast. I am looking forward to talking more with more people about how we can help the next generation succeed. And we will talk to you in the next episode.